Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, today I just pray your strength over us, that God, you would move in our lives, and each of us as individuals, and who we are, how we respond, how we walk forward. May everything we do, may we take responsibility and bring glory and honor to you in everything we do. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these moms. And thank you for this opportunity to share this word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the wake we leave behind. How many of you like to go to the lake? I like to go to the lake. When I was a kid, that's some of my fondest memories, is going to the lake with Daddy, and he'd pull me behind the boat, water skiing. And what was the most perfect day on the water was a day when the wind wasn't blowing and the water was like a mirror. It was like ice. And you could ski across that smooth water. And all of that has changed now. Because now people used to love to water ski, ski on two, ski on one. Now there's jet skis. Them crazy jet. If you drive a Sea-Doo, I feel sorry for you. Because people that ride Sea-Doos don't think nobody else is on the lake but them. Sorry. I'm out there fishing by the dam out here at Cedar Creek a year ago, middle of the week. Nobody's around, just me and Jesus on the boat. And here come two jet skis. And they get right over there by me in the corner where I'm at and just go to giving her trouble. And I'm thinking, Lord, do you care not that I perish? The waves are overtaking me. And I'm looking around. I'm like, you got all that big old lake out there. What are you doing over here? And then there's them wake boats. I don't know if y'all ever, you see these people now, they ski behind the boat, but they don't need a rope. They get this boat that makes a big old wake curl up behind them, and it's like surfing right behind the boat. And if you watch it on the weekends, I don't even go to the lake on the weekends, just forget it. Because all day long, you got several boats out there making them big waves, and that was the fun thing to do when them tubes they got that you can pull behind the boat, and you put two or three people on it, and you get it slung to the outside. And you start going in a big circle and just see how many of them you could kill off. You get them going in that wave, and the waves get big, and that thing bounces. And about 30, 40 feet later, it hits again, and then it does a big roll, and arms and legs go everywhere. The wake we leave behind. My grandpa, we'd be out there fishing, and in the mountains where we live, there was a big body of water, but then the little coves, and them coves may run for a couple of miles, but they wouldn't be 300 feet wide. And then Grandpa, he knew where the bass were. He knew where to take you. And these boats would come flying by you, and when it ain't but 300 foot wide and you're trying to fish on the edge, they'd just about throw you out of the boat. And Grandpa'd complain about that. But boy, if he had to live nowadays, if you go on the weekend nowadays and them wake boats and there's 10 or 12 of them on the lake, after they leave, it's 2 or 3 hours before the water settles back down because of the wake we leave behind. And I want to talk to you about us as individuals, about our lives and the wake we leave behind. Because as a Christian, what you and I do affects other people. And the wake that we leave behind, does it represent who Christ is? We are just about living in a godless nation. And the church, we have a responsibility to bring back the power of Almighty God. The reason the power is so dim and there's not much hope seen is because of the wake we leave behind. We must, as God's people, walk in hope. I was so encouraged by my brother Sam yesterday, and thank you very much, my brother. I love you and love your heart. If you missed going to the men's retreat at Sam's, I challenge you to put it on your calendar for next year. It's a blessing. Men, the response, Sam, the wake you left behind from yesterday has blessed me today. And I love you for that. I love your heart. So see what's happened in our culture and where we are today. Too many at church make church about them. I think you said it yesterday. Somebody said it yesterday. I heard it yesterday somewhere, that people quit coming to church because of the worship. People, I don't want to go to church because I don't like that worship. And the preacher told them, well, good, we wasn't worshiping you no way. We make it about ourselves. And when we make it about ourselves, we go to complaining and echoing what we don't like. And the wake you leave behind begins to affect those around you. I can tell you as a pastor, if you want to find out how many friends a person has in the church, make them mad at you. And they put expectations on you as leadership, and I get it. They put expectations on you as leadership, but I got to ask you this. The expectations you put on us as leadership, can we put the same on you? Because the Bible teaches us, if we go back and we reflect, and what do we have to stand on? We can't stand on what we want from the church. We can't stand on what the church don't do for me. We can't stand on how they made me mad. We can't stand on that. We're leaving behind a wake that is not healthy, and it's ungodly, and it's unbecoming of who Jesus is. But all we have to stand on is this word. Every bit of it, you can stand on it. It's like the lake that I used to love as a kid that was slick as glass when Daddy would take me out there skiing and I'd hop over the wake of the boat and get out there and just ride on that glassy water. I loved that part. There weren't many days, there ain't many days that life is like that and at the lake now, especially on the weekends. But the wake we leave behind as believers starts affecting other people. I went in ministry, and I'm going to share that it didn't happen at this church. Let me clarify that. It did not happen here. But as a pastor, hadn't been at the church very long, and I had this family invite us to dinner, Laurie and me. And we go in, we have dinner, and after dinner we sit down on the couch and visiting. Very loving people, very, very sweet-spirited. And then comes out this legal pad. And this lady started telling me all the people I needed to watch for in the church. And I'm sitting there and I'm sweating. The Holy Spirit is kicking me. Shut it down. Shut it down. Stop it. And the names are rolling and the sweetness is there. You've just got to watch these. I stopped that meeting. I said, if God wants me to know who these people are, He will tell me. I don't need you to tell me that. I love you. That day, I lost two members. Because of the wake I want to leave behind. Can I be real with y'all today? When the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, Pharaoh was abusing God's people. The wake Pharaoh was leaving behind. And the wake Pharaoh left behind caused God, go read this in the Bible, it caused God to harden Pharaoh's heart. And I'm going to tell you what I'm fearful of today in the evangelical world in America that we live in is hardened hearts becoming the church and God having nothing to do with it. The only way that I can have the presence of God in my life is to be broken before Him. And Pharaoh's hardened heart led God to tell Moses, you'd lead my children out of Egyptian bondage. You take them and you get out of here. And Pharaoh is so mad and so enraged that he's got his warriors gathering up on chariots. They get on their horses. They get on their chariots. They're going after them. And here goes Moses and God's people, and they wind up standing at the Red Sea with nowhere to go. What do we do now? And here come the chariots. What are we going to do? And God made a way for His people. Raised the stick, parted the sea, made it across. Here comes Pharaoh and them in their rage. They're not even astonished at what God is doing because of the wake they're trying to leave behind. The wake that they're leaving behind in life was one to destroy these people. Let me tell you something. When we set our mind on what church is and we make it about us, we start leaving behind the presence of God and what God is wanting to do in us. God can't use you and He can't use me unless we're broken before Him. I hope I never leave or lose the brokenness of God in my life. And now I'm going to get real plain with you. If He has to use backside surgery to keep me broken, because I've had a lot of time to just sit and think about how we affect people. And you can be trying to affect people for the good and do things, and me stopping a meeting with somebody telling me, all these people, you got to watch for these people. And I'm like, my Lord. And when you stop them and that makes them mad, can I just say that's one that needed to go? It ain't about you and me. In fact, Jesus said, if you chase after me, if you're coming after me, you got to deny yourself. what Moses and the children of Israel done, denied themselves. They take off. They're moving away. They're going to follow God. And in the midst of their deal, they get out there in the wilderness. And for 40 years, they got self-centered and started leaving a bad wake and quit following God and started complaining about Moses and complaining about God's leadership and complaining and complained to that leadership to the point that Moses and Aaron wind up on their knees in front of the people instead of in front of God. Changing the wake. The wake we leave behind. And it cost Moses from being able to enter into the promised land. He couldn't enter because he went to doing things for the people. Guys, I promise you this. As your pastor, I will be found faithful, trying my best. And in that, I'm going to fail, and I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to have failures, and I'm going to let you down, but I'm trying my best that I know how to honor God. And I pray you can forgive me when I fail you. I'm asking you. Because the Bible teaches us that we are to bear with one another and forgive one another. And what the children of Israel was quit honoring each other. They complained, they backbit, they talked bad about, they spoke evil of. And when Moses sent out the 12 spies, and two of them come back with the report saying there's a land over there flowing with milk and honey. And I want to tell y'all this. I want you to know today there is a rain, a cloud over us from heaven that God is wanting to rain in His church. God is wanting to not just rain, He's wanting to dump out the Holy Spirit on His church, and He can only do it when we start looking to Him and stop making it about you and me and start honoring God with our lives. And the wake that we're leaving behind should be one of giving Him glory. He needs our glory. He needs my praise. He needs my worship. If I will send up the praise and worship Him, the blessings will come down. But when I gripe and complain, I stop the rain. Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to run through some scripture here. And this is what's got to happen. I want this to speak to you and me today. Y'all hang on with me here. I'm going to mute my microphone and you're very welcome. I could have left that on where you could have heard the whole thing. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 11. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. But the Christian faith in America today is one that says, I'm saved and I'm on my way and I'm in charge and I'm large and I'm in charge and you need to know who I am. I don't care to know you. I want to know the Jesus that lives inside of you. Because when you meet me with a legal pad full of names of people I need to watch for, I don't want no fellowship with you. Does that make sense? And see, we have to guard our heart. And the only way we ever learn to guard our heart and the only way we ever learn how to walk and honor God and because we can create the rain. The only way that the Holy Spirit will rain down is when His people are in unity. If you don't believe that, go read the book of Acts. And go read the second chapter of Acts. And when the Holy Spirit fell, because the people were in one accord. They was in a Honda. Y'all did not laugh. I'm telling that again. Or was it a Toyota? The Accord. They were in one accord. They were in one mind. They loved each other. They got in one place where they could just give glory to the one that deserved all the glory. They got in one mind where they could give all the praise to one that deserved all the praise. To the one that had resurrected, the only one who had resurrected from the grave. And when they began to do that, the Holy Spirit came. And it fell, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke different languages. They spoke heavenly languages. They spoke, and people heard them glorifying and magnifying God in many languages in that place that day. Why did that happen like that? And then we start hearing this in the evangelical Christian world that was for the day of Pentecost, and that's only for the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is only for that. When you leave the Holy Spirit out, you've left out the one that will lead you and guide you in all truth. And when you leave the Holy Spirit out, it's easy for you to get arrogant and egotistical and think it's all about you and that you're doing God some great favor. But when we're broken before Him, it may not rain in nobody else's life, but it'll rain in yours. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit rain, that good rain. That good rain that makes you just rejoice, even though you're hurting. That good rain that makes you happy, even though you just feel like doing one thing, just be still. And ain't that what the Word says? Be still and know that I'm God. And when the children of Israel are running from these things and God tells them, right here in chapter 11, he says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge and keep his statutes, his judgments, his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known, who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God. The chastening is the correcting. How can God correct us when we won't humble ourselves and be broken before him? And our children will never understand how God works if they don't see us first broken before him. Amen. So it is important to know that how your children are going to respond to God when they become adults, folks, is how you're responding to God now. And if you choose not to respond to God now, and if you choose to live a mediocre lifestyle and teach them that it's okay to be a Christian and drink and party and live it up and just do this when you're in, it's like the chameleon. We change with the environment we're in. When I'm over here, I do this. When I'm over here, I do this. When I'm with my church people, I do this. No, we need to leave the same wake behind in everything that we do in life, but that we need to leave behind. We need to make sure everything we do is honoring God, even though it may make some people mad. He said, know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Their children didn't get to see the oceans close back up and swallow up the chariots and all of Pharaoh and his men. Says his signs and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and all his land. And what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots. How he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you. and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. Let's jump over here now to verse 18 and 19. And this is what he goes on to tell them. He says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. It is important that we take the word of God and put it in our heart and make sure it seals our heart and make sure it seals my redemption and know that what we stand on is what we're standing on is the hope that came from the throne room of God through his son Jesus to give us everlasting life. And it says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children. I'm going to tell you this, when we, Trustin's asking me all the time, and I am going to say it. Trustin says, I never knew about praying, I never knew about reading the Bible until I met you. And it's the only thing that I can give that little boy that's going to bring him hope and secure his future is to teach him. He told me one night leaving the bedroom, he said, Mr. Frankie, can I ask you something? I said, yeah, ask me something. He said, will you help me be a good man? And I went back and sat down on his bed and I said, little man, let me tell you something. The way I help you become a good man is to teach you to be a good boy. What are we teaching our children? They need to know the promises of God are real. They need to know the power of God is real, that it's not a place we just gather in a little building and complain about what we don't like that's going on in that building and people we don't like that are in that building. Man, that has got to go away by the wayside by the people of God in order for the reign of the Holy Spirit to ever make it to this place. It's got to happen in our hearts. It's a heart condition. It's a heart condition. It's like them two boys that's out there on them sea-doos and they come right over there and me fishing and they're riding all, you got a bad heart. You're messing up my fishing. It was nice till you showed up over here. And I do have to laugh at them because one of them wrecked and wiped out. And I do like to watch that stuff, but I'm telling you, it's what we leave behind. What do we want to leave behind? I heard them talk about Carl read two incredible poems yesterday that he wrote, and one of them was about Mr. Aubrey Daniels and The Measure of a Man. And guys, I'm telling you how important it is for us to take what God has blessed. And the only way to get God's blessing is to seek him as individuals. We need to literally draw around a circle around ourselves and know that there ain't nobody in this country, in this church, in this building, in any other church in this nation can take away what God is trying to put in you. But you can take it away from yourself when you get self-centered and all you think about is you. But you need to draw a circle around yourself and say, am I giving God the praise that he deserves in my life? Because when I don't praise God and I don't honor God, how can I teach trusting the good things that God has for us? Verse 19, he said, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when you sit down in your houses and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. We should always be sharing the hope of God with our children. Our conduct will affect how God responds on our behalf to our children and in our families. He rewards love and obedience. We need to love each other. We need to walk in obedience with each other. It says as Christians, how easy is it for people to let you down? What's our expectation of other Christians around us? Can they expect the same of you? Often churchgoers look for those around them to blame for their own lives and where they are in their life. The reality for every follower of Jesus totally depends on our individual relationship with him.
Can't blame nobody but me. I'll never be able to stand before God and say, Lord, if so-and-so hadn't have done what they done to me, I'd have made it. It ain't going to work. You know what our responsibility is? Do just what Jesus done when he hung on that cross. It's what caused the resurrection to happen. It had never been a resurrection if Jesus hadn't stayed in faithful obedience to the Father and said while he was on that cross, because it was a heart condition, right? It was the wake he was leaving behind when he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The very same people that was making a wake the day he rode into town on the donkey and waving palm leaves in the air and yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the rock, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're praising and worshiping him the day he rode into town was the very same people that was standing under the cross yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Same people changed their wake. God don't do that. But God, working in our hearts, caused Jesus to hang on that cross and in his agony said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We got to be found faithful, bringing honor to him. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lust as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's not an option for us. We're to be holy, for he is holy. It's not an option. It don't mean when my environment changes, I can change. It means that I honor God in everything that I do. And he goes in verse 17 and he says, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. What's going on in your life depends on how God is going to bless you. He says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. The fear that of God is having a wholesome dread of displeasing him. I don't want to let God down in my life. In verse 18 it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by your traditions from your fathers. And see, that's what we got to know with our children, that if we don't honor God in our life day in and day out, our children will never grow up to honor him. Your grandchildren will never know who Jesus is. I mean, that's kind of where we're on, what we're on the brink of in our day and age in America. And I love our president because he's calling for a revival in this nation. Praise the Lord for good leadership. But he said in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. When I set my mind on Jesus and I set my mind on honoring God, my faith and my hope is in him, not in people around me. Because we're going to let each other down, amen? But we, as the body of Christ and believers, need to undergird each other so that we don't sink and we don't fail. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus walking on the water and he went down and he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus didn't let him go and go, well, you just jacked that all up, Peter. If you hadn't took your eyes off of me, then how can we act that way toward each other as Christians? Church, we have a responsibility before us, and we're going to get on into that right here. Verse 20 says, who also through him believing God raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That's the only thing we've got to stand on. Our church, what goes on at our church, what goes on, what we think goes on, what we want to see going on. If we want to see something going on, get involved and make it about Jesus. Make it about Jesus. Bring glory and honor to Him and make it about Him, and you'll start seeing happiness in your own life that you've never had before. Simply because we just want to honor Him. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What I want to get on that grace a minute. Grace is unmerited favor of God. And when we walk in full honor in God, then we start seeing grace made manifest to us as believers. And we do it for the edification of those around us, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The day I give my life to Jesus, I'll never forget it. I didn't need to hear a message. I was so broken, undone, upside down in my life. I didn't need nothing but Jesus in my life. And it's amazing how we start leaving behind the very thing that got us to where, that brought that hope, that brought that new life, that brought that relief when we surrendered to Jesus. How many of you just felt a weight drive off your shoulders? And when we feel that leave us, how can we go back to that? Why would we want to go back to that? But human nature don't have part with God. It's the spirit of a man that has part with God. And that's all we can live by, is the spirit. In verse 31 it said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 4, 2 through 5. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. All of this can only happen because we have taken this word and we apply it to our everyday life. And we start living that blessed life. The wake we leave behind as a follower of Christ should be totally directed by Him and not of our own selfish feelings. Proverbs 3, I'm going to ask Jared and them to come on back around. Proverbs 3, verse Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want to back up right there a minute. And lean not to your own understanding. When I start leaning to my own understanding, it's easy to start drifting. It's easy to leave a negative wake. Does anybody in here ever get behind one of them boats? Any of y'all do that skiing where you don't have a rope? Anybody do that? Not one in this church? Oh, my Lord. We're going to go. Oh, I got them right there. Okay. I've never got to do that. I watch it and I'm thinking, that's pretty doggone cool. It's like, look, Mom, no hands. Church, what I'm saying to us is God wants us to rise up. God is looking for a people to rise up. It is time for God's people to lean not to our own understanding, to lean not to what I think. It's not about what I think. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our path. If we don't acknowledge him, how can he direct us in how we think and how we respond to each other and how we forgive each other? Forgiveness is not an option. It's a commandment. In order to be forgiven by the Father, we have to learn to forgive. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. The only way for us to have an Ephesians 6 life and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is to do that very thing that Jesus said when he met his disciples and told them, follow me. He said, if any man come after me, he must deny himself. When we deny ourselves and we walk in the fullness of God for my life for this day, I don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, but I know who I'm going to walk with tomorrow. I know who I'm going to honor tomorrow. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've felt like, and I have said this in my time over the past couple of weeks here, do you care that I perish? And you feel alone. But God's got a plan for us. What we have to learn to do is be still and hear what his purpose is for me now. Amen. Y'all stand with me. It's how much of this word I take and apply it to my life. And I love some of the conversations that I have with my brothers through the week. Man, I read this in the Word and I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by that hope that you have. I can't make it on my own ability. And I ask y'all, when I fail you, when I don't live up to your expectation, I ask you, forgive me. And to know that I love you. That's one thing that man can't ever stop
me from doing. They may get mad at me and turn their back and hate and get on their telecare ministry. But there's one thing man can't do. Stop me from loving you. There's my peace. There's my peace. And the only way we have that is the time we spend intentionally with Jesus. Amen. As the band begins to play, I want to ask you, what kind of wake are you leaving behind? What do you want to leave behind? Is it one of destruction? I want to challenge you today to change course. It don't mean stop the wake. It means leave a different one. Leave a wake that makes a difference for His kingdom. Leave a wake that makes a difference for a generation that is growing up today with no hope around them. It seems they have no hope. But how you and I, the example we leave behind, let's leave one like Aubrey Daniels left and go, man, I want to be like him. I want to be like my grandpa. I want to be like Henry Smith, that I never heard say nothing bad about nobody. We can't manufacture that in our own heart. That happens by the time they spend with Jesus. Amen? And it manifests itself as that. Father, today I pray your strength in our life. I pray that we could just draw a circle around ourselves and see who I am in you today. I want to see who I am in you, in your presence. Who am I? Am I walking in your blessing? Am I receiving your direction? Are you directing my path? Or am I just wandering in a wilderness like the children of Israel? Help me not be a wanderer. Help me to know today that my future is secured because of my trust in you. God, I ask your blessing over every person in this room today, your strength in our lives for your kingdom's sake. And may your word ring true in our hearts, that we examine who we are and evaluate the wake we leave behind. In Jesus' name, amen.